may never cut my hair again. I don't know. You know, who knows? I know it's getting unwieldy and unruly. But I guess in the spirit of the Rolling Stones, who not once gathered any moss. And in the spirit of Samson, I am letting my hair grow. You know, I talked last week about the death that Jesus predicted would claim Peter, and he signified the death in terms most literal, which means signified, means to tell plainly, to tell. And he said, you will be bound, you will go to where you would not, blah, blah, blah. And it started me to thinking, this is a postscript from last week, that wherever you are, be it good or bad, God means you to be there. There is no place where you're not supposed to be. And I've often had this sensation, and I've said it at conferences. Whoever I'm with, I said, there's no place I'd rather be than right here, right now. And it's really, it's too bad that we only say that when things are shining and happy and fun. No place I'd rather be. You know, and there's poor Dorothy in Oz, and she's snapping her heels together and saying, there's no place like home. But what a gift of God to realize that wherever you are, that's your home. And this was Daniel's experience in Babylon, and it should be our experience, that wherever we are, there we're home. And I don't see anyone in Scripture, with the exception of David. He seemed to be a man of extremes. He was a lunatic when he was jumping up and down when the ark came back. And he mourns like a wild man. Nobody mourns like David. Nobody rejoices like David. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that, David. Too bad you don't know about Charlie Watts up here, who looks the same today as he looked here in 1965. Very even, very nonplussed. Yeah, I'm a rock star, whatever. Or, as I learned from my kid in high school, whatev. That's even better than whatever, because it even shows less concern. It's like, you know, when you're just not concerned about it, something, someone's going on and on about something of great worry or want to engage you, like the disciples did with Jesus. Look at this temple. Look at the ornate scroll work. Look at those cherub. Look at the gold. And he said, whatever. What I wish he had said was whatever, because that's even more insulting, really. It's like you don't even have the energy or the desire to say whatever. So you just say whatever. And I like that. So if you're in bondage right now, whatever. If you just won the lottery, whatever. If you just lost your house, whatever. If you just bought a house, whatever. This is scriptural. I talked to you about that before. You're probably tired of hearing about it. Today, I plan on talking to you about the wife of the lambkin. It's all a figure. Jesus is not a baby lamb. Okay. He's called the Lion of Judah. This is great. He's called the Lion of Judah, which is another figurative speech, because he's not a lion, okay? He's not a lamb. But he has the attributes both of a lion and a lamb. And it's our wonderful privilege to figure out how that could be. That's the fun part of figures of speech and in Revelation, as I told you. Wonder why you use lampstands and not cannonballs to describe Ecclesias, to signify, to stand for Ecclesias. So he's strong, but he's also tender and loving, and you can not be afraid of him. He's strong like the lion, but you cannot be afraid of him like the lambkin. So we're going to go to this figure, another exercise for you, another example to show you how to interpret every figure you ever come upon in the book of Revelation or anywhere else in the scriptures. Revelation 19:8. Oh, I told you I was going to tell you about the Antichrist. Maybe I should do this first. Antichrist comes out of Greece, not Rome. The problem is that the interpretation mill of people who went to the seminary, they interpret Daniel 2 the same way. The four parts of the image, they assumed that the fourth part of the image, the iron mixed with clay, which were the legs and the feet, they assumed that that was a world kingdom in the past. But it's not. And they assumed that it's Rome. But the problem is that Rome never took over the entire earth. Never. They never took Babylon, did they? No. There were many parts of the earth, this is an historical fact, that Rome could not and did not conquer. Therefore, the composite of the clay and the iron is a future kingdom. Now, the problem is that the little horn, which is a figure for the Antichrist, comes out of the final part of this image. Now, if you think the final part of this image, of Nebuchadnezzar's image in Daniel chapter 2, the dream he had, if you think the final part of that is past, and if you think it's the Roman Empire, that will tempt you to think that Antichrist comes out of the Roman Empire. That is, he's an Italian. And boy, when Mussolini was on the scene, everybody thought he was the Antichrist. But the Antichrist is going to come out of Greece, because the last empire we had was a Grecian empire. That was the last world empire, headquartered in Babylon. So the little horn comes out of there. And it was funny, somebody was joking to me the other day, I wonder if the Antichrist is Joe Biden. And I actually thought that before. I don't know why this person said Joe Biden, because what an improbable Antichrist that would be. I mean, Satan would have to take over that guy just to cause him to say something intelligible and intelligent. But he does have close associations with Greece. He might even be of Grecian ancestry. I haven't looked into that. But you can bet I will. So we're in Revelation chapter 19. And what verse did I say? I said verse 15. No, I didn't. 19:8. Revelation 19:8. All right. Challenges galore here, arranging books and such. Revelation 19:8. Now, this is the antithesis, or as I would try to say, antithesis, as I'd like to say antithesis, of the Scarlet Woman. This is the wife of the Lambkin. This is pure, and this is holy. And the wife of the Lambkin is, of course, faithful Israel and faithful Israelites. 19:8. Let's start with 19:1. And these things I hear, as it were, a loud voice of a vast throng in heaven, saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power is of our God, for true and just is his judging. For he judges the great prostitute who corrupts the earth. The great prostitute is faithless Israel, and it corrupts the earth. And wait till you find out how it corrupts the earth. It's happening now. We're living this. It is happening now more than it has ever happened in the history of the world. That Israel, the Jews, are corrupting the earth with her prostitution. And he avenges the blood of his slaves at her hand. And a second time, they declare hallelujah. Yah be praised. That's what that means. And her smoke is ascending for the eons of the eons. That's what's going to happen. Smoke of the torment ascends. Not the torment itself, but the smoke of the torment. We'll be getting into that. Very technical language here. I'll bring you up to date on it. And the 24 elders, and you better believe there are 24 ancient spiritual beings who are in charge of the universe. And the four animals, yes, there are four animals at the throne of God. I'm going to describe them when we get there. They're actual animals, I believe. And they worship God, who is sitting on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah. The voice came out from the throne saying, Praise our God, all his slaves, those who are fearing him, the small and the great. And I hear, as it were, the voice of a vast throng, and as it were, the sound of many waters, and as it were, the sound of strong thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. We may be rejoicing and exalting, and will be giving glory to him, for the wedding of the Lambkin came, and its bride makes herself ready. And to her it was granted that she may be clothed in clean, resplendent cambric. It's a cloth. Very rich. Purple, I believe. Cloth cambric. Cloth for kings. For the cambric is the just awards of the saints. There it is. The cambric is the just awards of the saints. So the cambric is not a literal garment. We often think that, well, Christ is going to literally be wearing white, and the saints are going to literally be wearing cambric. But it is explained here that the cambric represents something, and that is the just awards of the saints. So they will be wearing, figuratively, their jewels, their gems, the prizes given to them by God and Christ for enduring through the days of the indignation. And the wife of the lambkin is not you. You are not the bride. The bride, this wedding feast we're looking at, it's probably not a literal wedding feast. It is a celebration for sure. And if Christ is a groom, described as figuratively, and Israel is figuratively a bride, then there will be a celebration of a marriage sort of celebration. And this is an intimate relationship Israel has with the lambkin. However, our relationship with Christ is much deeper. I used to think, how can you get any closer to God than to be married to his son? It's like there's his son standing there, and there's you standing there. You're right next to it. Just like when you go to a classic wedding, you see the bride standing next to the groom, and they're holding hands, and then he lifts her veil, and they kiss. How can you get closer? Here's how you can get closer. You can be a member of Christ's body. That's even closer than being the bride. So the bride of Christ appears nowhere in the Bible. I'm not afraid to tell you that. It's just true. Now, I'm going to real quickly about the temple here. I just lost my focus because I put my arm up. Come back to me. I'm a blur to you right now. And I don't know why it's not correcting itself. Maybe if I do this. That's kind of interesting. Okay, we're back. There is no temple, you know, on the new earth. John saw no temple in it. That's Revelation 21, I think. But then right after that, it says it has a temple. What? No temple has a temple? The no temple is figurative. Having a temple then, the no temple is literal. I saw no temple, so there's no temple. That's literal. However, there is then said to be a temple. And then it says, well, how can there be a temple and not be one at the same time? It says, for the Lord Almighty and the Lambkin are its temple. They are the temple. So in other words, the temple is now a person. Temple is now a God. The temple now is not a building like it was in the 1,000 years. The temple is now a figure. And we are told what it is. Temple is the Lambkin and the Lord God Almighty. So the actual physical building will be replaced by these celestial dignitaries. And I feel quite justified calling Christ a celestial dignitary. There you go. The faithless woman then, cleaning up from yesterday, is Babylon. The faithful woman is Israel. And she will be wearing resplendent garments that are not real garments, but they are the just awards given her for overcoming during the days of her extremity.